the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello, welcome to Beyond the Pets. I'm your host, Phil Brown, as always, joined with my regular co-host, Martin Walwork, on the NBC Sports Podcast platform. Welcome to the weekly Manchester United show. So much to get through today, folks. We'll take a look back at the Stoke game, the disappointing 2-2 result. We'll take a look back, of course, as well, the Champions League. Brilliant to be back in that competition. Superb win for United, 3-0 against Basel. We'll cover that. We'll take a look ahead at Everton this weekend. Difficult game. And we'll talk about some of the other news surrounding United. Pogba, Mkhitaryan, so many other things to get through today. Mate, how are you, first of all?
Yeah, I'm well, Phil. How about you?
All good, mate. Yes, all good. 2 days away from Canelo Triple G. Cannot wait for that fight. Who wins Canelo Triple G, Martin?
Oof, I think that one's going to go deep, but I'm going to go Triple G.
See, I change my mind every day. One day it's Canelo, one day it's Triple G, and I just can't make my mind up. And that's one of the great things about this fight, is it's a 50-50 fight, it's a toss-up fight. And it really is one of those ones that anything can happen. I could see Canelo knock him out, I could see Triple D knock him out, I could see it going the distance. Just two superb fighters in their prime, and I can't wait for that this weekend. So
you're saying you think it's going to be a better fight than Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather?
I'm going to give a Michael Owen prediction. If Canelo knocks out Floyd, Triple D, he win. And if Triple D knocks out Canelo...
going out on a limb there.
In my opinion, one of three things will happen. Either Canelo wins, Triple G will win, or it'll be a draw.
Can't argue with that. Old prediction.
We have to, so we're gonna. I'm gonna force you into a prediction. So you think Triple G wins?
Triple G in seven.
I'm gonna say Canelo. I think Danny Jacobs gave him the blueprint on how to beat Triple G. I think Triple G lost that fight. Well, I'm going to say Canelo beats him. I'm going to say he goes the distance and he beats him. And just like Andre Ward with Kovalev, once there'll be a rematch and same outcome, only it'll be easier for Canelo next time. Once he gets inside Triple G's head and knows that he can't beat him by knocking him out, that's the end of Triple G as a monster. As we saw with Young Chocolatito this weekend, once the fighters lose, it gets inside their head. Anyway, we'll talk about this all today. Let's talk about United. of course, we'll start the weekend. We'll quickly talk about the Stoke game. 2-2 with Stoke. Disappointing result. Before the game, you're saying, all right, to borrow the oldest cliche and most mundane cliche in football, Stoke's a hard place to go. We know what, right? We know that Stoke are going to test United. We know that they're what their strengths are. You don't even have to scout Stoke. You know exactly what they're going to do. Now, to be fair, they've some tasty players. They've some very good players. I'm looking at Stoke and I'm thinking, centre backs need to be strong. They're going to get tested. You're going to get big balls into the box. Phil Jones, always a mistake in him. But you looked at the two goals we gave away, Martin. Two individual errors, both could have been avoided. Baye at fault, Darmian at fault, Phil Jones at fault. That's not Mourinho's fault.
Oh, absolutely not. It's, you know, and I backtrack a little bit there, and you know, and this is not an excuse by any means, but that international break came at exactly the wrong time for United. Yeah. You know, it's when you're flying and you're playing well, and there's consistency within the team and the squad, and you know, you're scoring goals, you're not conceding goals. You really don't want that break to come. It's the teams that are struggling that want that break, who don't have as many international players, you know, jetting here, there and everywhere. And, you know, we looked, to me, looked very, very leggy, looked somewhat tired. Yeah. And like you say, individual errors by not stepping out there. Yeah. And, you know, Darmian, yeah, a little bit. He could have closed down quicker, I suppose. But that's still on by. Not only does he not step up with the line, but then he doesn't retreat either. He doesn't get back, and he gets out muscled and outworked on the second on the ball in the second ball across. So certainly, you know, he switched off there. Phil Jones, you know, yeah, it was a slip, but he's not strong enough in that position there. So individual errors, you know, that's down to the individual. It's not nothing to do with Jose. It's not a concern. It's not. a tactical problem. It's not something we should be working on in training. It's, you know, it's just an individual lapse in concentration, or and you know, it's cost United twice. So, you know, I look at it more of the break on the internationals. I just thought we looked leggy, and I thought we looked like a team that had travelled all over Europe just a few days earlier and played, for the most part, a lot of those guys, two games in a few days.
All over the world, and you're right. But look, Bailly has gotten loads of praises in his time at United. For me, by far and away, United's best defender. So I have to take the criticism that comes with him. He was definitely at fault for that goal.
Yeah.
Primarily, he was the individual fault. Damian's too narrow. Damian needs to get out and close down that ball. Stop the cross coming in.
But we say it's too narrow. But, you know, we know where the threat comes from. The threat comes from balls into the box. So I can see why he's so narrow. We defend narrow and then push out to defense. You know, we're defending the cross. So I can see tactically why we defend narrow to start with, and the ball central. Maybe he's a little slow to get out there, as you said, and a little slow to then stop the cross coming in. But I know why we're trying to defend narrow against a team like Stoke, who's going to sling balls in the box.
Defend narrow, and to be fair, with slight mitigation of Damian, he's not a left back. And you get punished at this level for making stupid mistakes like that. United were invariably punished. Lots of positives, though, to be fair. I'll tell you what, if I'm Martial, I'm disappointed in not starting that game. I thought, after everything that he's done, I know Rashford came off a bench the other day against Leicester in the game before the international break and scored the winner. But I thought Martial done enough. I know Rashford scored for England as well. But I thought he's been unlucky not to start, because every time he's come in, he's scored goals, more or less. He scored against Swansea, very, very good. He scored, what was the other game he scored in? It was the first game of the season. He scored, United beat Swansea. And then they beat West Ham 4-0. He scored in that game. And he's looked very, very good, Martin. And when he came on against Stoke, lovely skill. He absolutely ruined Doof, I think, at one point.
Yeah, Doof.
So, you know, I thought he was a wee bit unlucky not to start that game. But, look, plenty of positives. We'll get to Pogba in a minute. But Mkhitaryan, Sean Martin, when you play Mkhitaryan in the final third of the field, look, we talk about how much Matic has freed up Pogba. Matic has freed up Mkhitaryan too. And you play him in the final third of the field with this forward line, with the movement of this forward line, Mkhitaryan's going to create goals for United. He's got brilliant runs from Rashford attacking the channels. Lukaku has much more movement than Ibrahimovic. Ibrahimovic would often get the ball, be behind the play. And Lukaku is scoring goals and showing the pressure playing for Man United is not a problem. Price tag, not a problem. Very positive.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Martial. I mean, I think, you know, Martial didn't play for France. Rashford, yeah, he scored his goal, took his goal off for England. Probably unfortunate not to start. And I think the slight concern for me is maybe that was a game. I mean, I guess he did. He changed three players, right? Damian came in for Blaine, Rashford for Martial, and Herrera for Mata, right? Based on the previous game, so he did change around a little bit. But maybe that is, you know, an opportunity there to start Martial, give a couple more of the international players an extra day or an extra few minutes off their legs, so to speak. But yeah, Mkhitaryan, you know, just still creating assists, still providing what he didn't provide enough of last year. And like you say, with Matic holding in there, it's freed him up. And it's not only freed him up moving forward, but it's freed him up centrally to really be in the middle of the pitch and be able to pick out passes. And he's had a great start to the season. A little disappointing in the Champions League, but he's had a very, very good start to the season. I think this is the Mkhitaryan that we thought we were getting. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see an even bigger improvement as this year goes on, as things really start to settle down and people start to collapse on Lukaku a little bit more. It's only going to create even more space for the likes of Mata, Rashford, Martial, Mkhitaryan, Herrera.
Well, what you're seeing, Martin, and what's really encouraging is a lot of teams now, you're seeing that United are coming back to being teams' cup finals now. And now United are getting that respect of teams packing out their defence, saying, we're going to start with five at the back. Basel did it as well. And still Lukaku scoring goals. Still United are creating openings. One other thing that annoyed me immensely is I've seen a lot of criticism of Marcus Rashford. Rashford has another one-on-one where he hits the keeper. He should score, I agree. but a lot of the people criticising Rashford are the same people that moan when United don't send young players. Understand that when you send young players, they have aspects of their game that take time to develop. This is why Guardiola doesn't want to play young players. This is why other managers are really reticent to play young players that are under massive pressure to win right now. Guardiola doesn't have the... He doesn't have the pressure of having to win a certain way at Man City. All he has to do is win. Mourinho has to win a certain way at Manchester United, consistent with the culture at the football club. And it's very easy to turn around to Rashford and say, do you know what? You're an Iheanacho. You're going to be a great player one day, son. But I've got to send the finished article right now. And I'm going to go out and do it. I think, you know, Mourinho deserves enormous credit for persevering with young players, with the likes of Rashford, and giving them a chance and not doing exactly what Guardiola has done. But understand, with that, you have to be patient with young players.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't see anybody harping on about Martial running down blind alleys now and again, right, and failing to beat the man. You say, oh, Martial should be starting because he can finish. He's composed one-on-one. Yeah, but Rashford probably beats a man better than Martial does right now. So, you know, there's positives and negatives, and you're going to see dips in form with young players. And as you say, Jose deserves a lot of credit. He's sticking with it. He may be rotating them, but they're getting a chance. Whereas, you know, across the way there, the noisy neighbours are buying the way out and showing no faith in youth whatsoever. So we're going to have slight frustrations. But look, Marcus Rashford, I mean, you know, adding another one in midweek yesterday to his tally of scoring in his debuts in every competition. I can't think that there is another player out there that has scored in this many debuts.
And then throw
into that his first Manchester derby. You know, it's just spectacular stuff that we've seen from him. He knows where the goal is. Yes, he's going to miss a few chances one-on-one. He's got to develop that composure. But look, as a coach myself, I'm more concerned if he's not putting himself in those positions. For me, it's something you're going to have to live with. And, so, you know, him playing elsewhere or him sitting on the bench or not making a squad is not going to make it any better whatsoever. He needs to be getting time and needs to be making these mistakes at the highest level because, that's the transition and the intelligence and the composure, it's going to come quicker playing at the highest level if this player is going to be the player that we think he is. And for me, this guy flat out is going to be an absolute superstar. And I was talking on Talk Sport last night, or night before last, and they asked me about him. And you know, one of my comments was, you know, if Mbappe's worth 100 million this year, what's Rashford going to be worth? And what is Rashford going to be worth in a couple? Because he's done a lot more in the game so far than Mbappe did.
I was going to talk about Mbappe. Look, magnificent talent, but don't think PSG aren't going to have to put up with the same things United have to put up with Rashford. And Marcus Rashford's playing in a much harder league. PSG are going to have to put up with the frustrating dips in form, with the immaturity that comes with a 19-year-old. You know, Gabi Jesus is a sensational talent, magnificent young player. Right, that kid is a class player, and City deserve huge credit in scouting him, and identifying that talent and having the courage to play him. I'll give him credit for that. But again, not the finished article. And these kids, they're going to take time to develop. I would say if Gabi Jesus develops into the player that everyone thinks he will be, and Rashford develops into the player everyone thinks he will be, I'd be a lot more confident at keeping Marcus Rashford at Man United than Gabi Jesus playing at Man City. I think, you know, if United have a young Manchester lad coming through their academy with that level of talent, it's worth the wait to develop him into the player we know he's going to be. It'd be an absolute crime to let him go, Martin. Superb talent, superb player, so exciting. And I love watching him. Spoiled for choice between him and Rashford, or him and Martial.
We may get to see both of them now. I mean, there may be an opportunity to see both of them because, you know, by all accounts, Mkhitaryan's carrying a small knock now, and obviously Pogba that we'll get to in a little while. So there's going to be some change in the upcoming weeks. So maybe there will be an opportunity to play both of them wide. I mean, that really is a scary thought with that kind of pace and power going down right across the pitch with Lukaku centering them.
Let's take a look at Basel, because back in the Champions League, brilliant to hear that Champions League the anthem before the game. You know, it belonged in the Champions League, Martin. Look, here's one of the things that I do not understand, though. I cannot understand why people are criticizing Mourinho for winning the Europa League. As if, he denigrated the competition once in the past, and it's a bit funny to see him celebrating winning it. What's a guy supposed to do? Not winning? It's absolutely ridiculous. And this is a competition that got United back in the Champions League. I was delighted to win it. There is no English team right now could turn their nose up at winning the Europa League and say we're above that. Absolutely no way. Mourinho shown once again that he's superb in Europe. The Europa League, like, to me, the Europa League, it was only United couldn't win the Champions League last season. I'm delighted that was the way they got themselves into the Champions League. Not by scraping fourth place, which was, it's an empty victory, Martin. I want to see United win trophies. And there is a moral high ground between getting in the Champions League by winning the Europa League versus scraping fourth. I'm sorry. So that, if you'd offered me a route before it, I'd have taken that.
Well, it's also a tournament we'd never won. So, you know, completely idiotic to be criticizing somebody to win a European trophy that we'd never won to get us an even greater prize.
Would Klopp have criticized if they'd have beat Sevilla the year before?
No, but Klopp would have found a way to turn it on United, so it doesn't really matter.
somehow, Liverpool's failures are... look, we know that Liverpool United, it's like Barcelona or Real Madrid. They're defined by each other's successes and failures. And Jurgen Klopp has worked out... You know, when he first came to Liverpool, he was calling Alex Ferguson the John Lennon of football. All that's gone now, of course. They played United in the Europa League when the year they went to the final. The year Mamu Sakho failed the drugs test, if you remember. It was just before the game at Old Trafford. It's funny, now Jurgen Klopp's realising that you don't ever praise Manchester United. You buy into the conspiracy theory rhetoric that, Ed Woodward's on UEFA's board a week after they get another plum draw in the Champions League. So for me, I think I laugh whenever Mourinho's answer to the conspiracy theorist is, here's another trophy, here's another trophy, here's another trophy, and nothing winds people up in the English game more than Manchester United winning trophies.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing winds people up more than Manchester United, period. So it's, it just keeps stacking up the trophies. We got where we want to be in the Champions League. Like you say, to hear the anthem belting out Old Trafford again is fantastic. We're exactly where we want to be. And I tell you, if we treat the competition correctly and we stay somewhat healthy and not get key injuries, I tell you, we've got a chance to go a long, long way, because once you get through that group stage, and you start coming into one-off matches or two-legged ties, so to speak, there's not many better in the game tactically than Jose Mourinho. We can lock it down, but now we've got that added firepower. I wouldn't bet against United going a long, long way in this year's Champions League, even though I think the priority will be the Premier League.
Let's look at the Basel game, because 3-0, so many people say, it's just Basel. Yeah, well, France said it's just Luxembourg and didn't beat them. You have to beat them. A lot of positives. We'll get to the negatives in a minute. What were the positives for you in that game?
Well, I thought Ashley Young, as I said several times on this show in the last few weeks, I thought Ashley Young coming back into that squad would provide a real injection into that squad and an added tactical know-how and ability that we don't really have right now. It added a little bit of balance. It added a player whose instinct is to get the ball, get half a yard and whip a cross in. He's still the best crosser of the ball United have had since David Beckham, in my view. He came in and delivered an absolutely wonderful cross for Fellaini's goal. And it's great work from Fellaini, but that goal is all in the delivery. He did it time and time again. For 20 minutes, I don't think we attacked down the left-hand side to start the game. Ashley Young seemed to be on the ball every third touch. I thought he had a... For somebody who's not played football, any kind of football for so long, you wouldn't have thought it. Now, Basel didn't exactly put up a stern resistance. I thought they were very poor. I didn't they looked a threat at all. I thought if they scored, it would only be coming from a defensive lapse. But you know, Young's performance for me was a huge, huge positive. I thought Lukaku again held the ball very well, maintained possession very well, gets on the end of another wonderful cross from Blin. That shows the power and the strength and the determination to get on the end of the balls that we've been lacking for so many years. And then, you know, the last one, Fellaini coming in. I thought Fellaini, if it wasn't Ashley Young, then Fellaini's man of the match for me. Fellaini put in a flawless performance. And, you know, the stick he gets is incredible. I mean, a guy that, look, nobody's, you know, jumping through hoops when you see his name on the team sheet to start a match. I understand that. But what you've got to understand is he's a player who goes and he puts together performances that managers want. I call him a manager's player. You've heard me say that several times now. He plays wherever the manager wants him to play. He plays in whatever style he wants the manager to play. He puts himself about for 90 minutes, no matter what. He's a big, strong, physical player, sacrifices himself for the team, and has scored so many key goals for United. And I think now, with Pogba's injury, I think you're going to see a lot more of Fellaini. Quite frankly, I think he deserves it.
Yeah, so, a couple of things. Fellaini, I think there was a watershed moment when he got booed, Martin, by United fans. And a lot of United fans were embarrassed at that, which was quite scandalous behaviour towards a guy. He'd never done anything to deserve that. And I think United fans at that moment checked themselves and said, wait a minute, this guy is still a Manchester United player. He's one of our own.
Well, a lot of it came from the Everton penalty, didn't it? I mean, there was a lot before that, I know, but I think the key moment that got the irk of the fans was that penalty when he got brought on and gave the game win against Everton.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. The fans were embarrassed. I was embarrassed to hear any United player booed inside Old Trafford.
When you talk about United culture, Martin. You know, we talk about culture when it comes to bringing through young players and Mourinho's responsibility to United's culture. What about the fans' responsibility? They never boo a United player in a United shirt. Leave that to the opposition fans. You heard Mourinho's comments about Fellaini after the game, saying he was asked about this prior to the transfer window closing if he would sell him, and he meant it when he said he's more chance of getting me than getting Fellaini. Fellaini, from the minute he came in, has given him nothing but 100%. Mourinho will overlook a lot if you give him 100%. Just like anybody in life, no matter what the occupation is, if you go in and give it everything you've got, usually that's enough for people. You don't have to be brilliant. But and fans, like we say, we can forgive a lot, but we can't forgive a lack of effort. Yeah. Fellaini has never, he's went in there, given everything he's got from the moment Mourinho's walked in there, and he wasn't a Van Gaal player. He was a David Moyes player. And I don't really understand the criticism. And I think it's really unfair. Yes, he's not someone that's going to come in and be a flair player. But that, you know, as we've seen with... a team requires balance. It needs different players, different attributes. Fellaini scored a really, really important goal the other night. He's hard to mark. He's physical. He scores important goals. I've got no problems with Marouane Fellaini.
Well, do you think... I mean, a lot of it comes from who signed him. And the way in which he was signed, paying 4 or 5 million more than we could have done 3 or 4 weeks earlier than we did. You know, the complete farce around signing him and who signed him and David Moyes. I think that lays on people's minds to start him. But man, I have no problem with Fellaini. I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I think that, you know, like you say, some of the stuff, he leads with elbows. You know, he can get a little bit dirty and he gets a little bit reckless at times. But you know what? I didn't hear anybody complaining when Eric Cantona did that.
Look,
I didn't hear anybody complaining when Roy Keane did that. Early on, I didn't hear anything when Wayne Rooney's running his ass off, covering every blade of grass, throwing tackles in left, right and centre and getting silly cards. I didn't hear anybody complaining about that at the start. You know, but we've got to come to the realisation. Marouane Fellaini is a Manchester United player, a very, very, very important squad player and a player that's proven that, you know, in the right position that Jose plays him, can score us key goals and get us out of some quite ridiculous predicaments.
Look, the what we've seen with Fellaini, with the criticism that's come his way, is a modern phenomenon. It comes from a couple of areas. First of all, it comes from a massive lack of appreciation and understanding about what Marouane Fellaini does. It comes from the era of FIFA, where everyone has to be a superstar number 10 that can skip past players on a YouTube highlight reel. It comes from that. It comes from Fellaini being a type of player that, unless you're educated about the game, you don't know how to appreciate. You don't understand the things that he does. Because Marouane Fellaini does a lot of the ugly, dirty work that other players don't want to do. Marouane Fellaini provides balance in a Man United team. Yes, he's not a Galactico, right? But it's really important you have these players in your team. And sometimes, when you need to turn the game ugly, when you need to put a leveler on someone, United are playing against five men at the back, they can't break a team down, you throw a ball in the box and Fellaini puts one in the bottom corner with a header. Sometimes you have to do that. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's no, but I don't think he gets enough credit because he played just off Lukaku at times. Yeah. And he looked very good just in behind. Money. And that's where he caused us so much problems when he was playing for Everton. When he playing just off the front man.
When he came on against Real Madrid, he was United's best player.
Best player and almost by changed far. The game. Almost. The game changed when he came on.
Doesn't get anywhere near enough credit. The other positive in that game was Ashley Young. If United can keep Ashley Young fit this season, it's worth another 10 goals to Lukaku. What he brings to United is so different to what United get from Monmata, what they get from any of their other wide players, Rashford, Martial. Ashley Young delivers a ball early. You saw it with Daley Blind as well. Daley Blind threw a ball in early. What'd you get? You get two goals off him, right? You throw a ball in early. Lukaku, Mourinho thinks it's the best header of a ball in the Premier League. Really, really important to have players who are wide, who can deliver a ball in quickly. This is the thing that concerns me about Luke Shaw Martin. Doesn't get forward enough, and I'm not sure if he provides an attacking outlet for United down the left-hand side.
Well, the only thing I would say to that is, I mean, if Ashley Young plays on the right, he's going to whip that great ball in. If he plays on the left, he's still going to have to, he's more often than not going to cut back and whip in right-footed.
It's okay.
But what he does give you that you didn't mention there, and he gives us flexibility in formation. He's that player now who could slide on the left-hand side in a back three and play in that wing-back role that Jose was looking for over the summer in the likes of Perisic. We already know Valencia can play, you know, in a wing-back role. That guy can run all day long. Ashley Young's got a good engine on him, tactically sound and delivers a good ball and can go around the back or he can cut in. So he not only provides, you know, he's going to provide added goals that way, but he's going to provide flexibility if we need to change to a back three. And we know now after Jose's comments earlier in the season that he was looking for that wide left wing back type player to give him that option of playing a three. So I think he's going to be key for United. I really do. And I plan on seeing quite a lot of him this season.
Other one is Victor Lindelof. How do you think he did? He looked nervy to me, Martin.
Well, he looked nervy. Couple of slips, but there was no real threat. I mean, he went to ground a little early and was probably fortunate that player was so honest. I think any kind of, you know, little cheeky dive there when he went to ground, I could have given away a penalty again. He's a little rash in the box and a little quick to go to ground and want to put that tackle in. Well, that type of game he needed, though. I think it was should have been an easy introduction for him to get back in the flow.
I think that Basel missed a couple of really, really good opportunities in that game, Martin. With better finishing, we'd seen a totally different game. I think United got a wee bit lucky at times. There was a couple of balls that I think Basel had a free header from about 8 yards out that they put wide. There was a couple of other chances they had in that game.
Couple of chances, but not necessarily something I would put down solely to Lindelof.
No, not solely Lindelof.
But I mean, I don't think they were a huge threat. I don't think they were a threat to Lindelof down the middle. We weren't getting players running at him. He wasn't having to make too many tactical decisions on whether to slide out, whether to tuck in, whether to put. So there was no real constant threat inside. Yeah, they had a couple of chances that they probably could have done better. I wouldn't say that was a centre-half pairing problem.
What I would say is, if you're a fringe player on this team, Martin, massive responsibility on you to take chances. Because, look, Absolutely. This is not the Europa League. It's hard to see where you're going to get games. So when you get a game, you better take it. There's going to be no 2-3 games to defend your form. You better take it. The other things, of course, is that Mourinho has added Kieran O'Hara and Demi Mitchell to his Champions League squad. Kieran O'Hara is a goalkeeper. I'm not quite sure why he's added Kieran O'Hara. Did someone get injured?
Not that I'm aware of.
Demi Mitchell's come in as well. So, interesting one with Demi Mitchell because we didn't see a lot of him over the summer, Martin.
I think we saw a brief introduction and then in one game, and then I think he came on late real late in one game because of injury. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what does it tell you about the fullback position?
Yeah. So then the other negative, of course, is the injury to Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba comes off after 20 minutes with a muscle injury, Martin. Coming off after 20 minutes with a muscle injury suggests two things to me. Suggests maybe they weren't warmed up properly, and possibly suggests that Pogba could have done with the rest in this game. But how do you rest him? I think.
The key to that is the fact that you may well have seen Pogba rested if Jones and Bailly weren't suspended. The fact that we already changed the complete back four, you know, you then can't go and change your holding midfielders as well in Matic and Pogba. Well, so I think I could be wrong. I think it would more likely him getting a break if that centre half partnership who'd been played in the first four or five games would have been available for selection.
Well, now he's probably going to be out for 6 weeks. Everton, CSKA Moscow, Liverpool, Andreas Pereira, you stupid, stupid boy. Because this was your chance. And Martin, look, he can go to Valencia and have a fantastic season. But the problem for Pereira is he has to force his way into Mourinho's thinking in this United team. Not what he does at Valencia. It's going to help him if he pulls there and plays well.
He can only do so much out there. But he can only do so much with somebody not watching him, you know, every minute of every session, of every game. This was the opportunity he was wanting. He would have been back in the squad, I presume, and would have got an opportunity with the games coming up.
Well, here's the thing. Go and score six overhead kicks at Valencia. It still doesn't solve the problem of how do you fit into this United team. And that is why he should have stayed. He should have said to Mourinho, look, I'm going to stay for 6 months.
Exactly. Okay? He should have given it till Christmas time.
Yeah, If Jose
wasn't true to his word that he was a valuable part and he was going to get his time, then he could have gone at Christmas time.
Then you could sit down.
But yeah, exactly the opportunity. This is how these opportunities come around. Yeah. And you know, it's a freak injury. Pogba looked like he overstretched, took a kind of a weird dig on it. You know, when his studs hit the ground, definitely overstretched. Hamstring goes, clearly doesn't look well. 4 to 6 weeks. You know, you're looking to bring somebody in there. Pereira would have gotten his chance, and you know, that's when the boss says you're a part of my plans. You're going to get time. Yep. You stick around. The second you leave and go, no, I know better and I want to play, I'm guessing that Jose's not going to be too thrilled when he comes back, and he's not going to be on the hurry, you know, in a hurry to get on the phone to phone him and making sure he is coming back with that callback option at Christmas time. He's done himself no favours whatsoever.
The other thing is, Martin, Pereira has to show the hunger to get into this United team, the willingness to stay and fight for your place. Everybody at the top club has to do that. If you want to play, to be guaranteed to play every week, big players at big clubs have a choice. You can leave and go get that at a mid-table club. Not a problem. But if you're going to stay here, you're going to have to face up to the fact that you're going to have to earn your way into this team. Look, in a couple of months' time, Lukaku and Ibrahimovic are going to have this problem. One of you two is going to play. One of you isn't. You're going to have to do Lukaku, one of the most expensive strikers in the world, in blistering form. Ibrahimovic is going to want to play. Martial, Rashford have this problem. Mkhitaryan, Mata have this problem. Loads of players in that United team are faced with the dilemma of forcing their way into the squad, and you have to do it. Andreas Pereira should have stayed, should have shown the desire to get into that United team and to solve problems for Mourinho. And if he'd have done that, then he forces his way into Mourinho's thinking. Stupid move for him to go to Valencia. And really suggests, in my opinion, that he'll never be a United player.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think he's almost final nail in the coffin type scenario. He's got to stay. Got to stay. The boss says he wants you there. You stay there and you fight. And we saw what Jose did to the likes of Chris Smalling and Phil Jones last year, calling him out in public, saying you don't have the fight. You're not willing to fight through pain. You're not willing to fight for this. Then, you know, they're almost lucky they got a second chance themselves, and you know, the likes of Phil Jones have taken it. You know, Pereira just needed that one chance, and you never know how that chance is going to come. It doesn't matter what level you play at. You tell your players, you don't be ready, whether in the match day squad or not, be ready to go. You never know what's going to happen. Marcus Rashford was never in that match day squad when he made his debut. Was never in that squad. Injury in, you know, leading up to the match, a complete unknown to a lot of Man United fans. He gets the nod, comes on, bags two. And now look, you just never know when that call's going to come. And like I say, if the manager's telling you to go out and get football, that's one thing. But the manager's telling you to stay because you're in his thoughts and his plans, you stay and you fight.
Everton away this weekend. Everton get absolutely murdered against Tottenham.
Well, they're getting the same treatment at Atalanta right now. Same thing. 3-0.
Another team that could have done without the international break, of course, Wayne Rooney letting them down. Very, very poor against Tottenham, completely outplayed against Tottenham. What do you expect against United? Wayne Rooney coming back to Old Trafford, of course. What do you expect? It's at Old Trafford, right?
Yeah.
It's as good as it's at Old Trafford. What do you expect this weekend?
Well, a week or so ago, I would have told you I expected a really, really tough game, and I thought it was going to be a cracker of a game, and now I'm not so sure. They've rested a lot of players today, but they're trying to bring, as we look right now, they've brought Rooney off, they've brought Calvert-Lewin off, they've brought Schneider. So they've gone to three at the back. They were trying to save Klaassen and Morales and Ramirez and a few others, and that's not worked. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of goals to be shipping in two games.
Mm.
They've gone to a back three. I don't know whether they'll start with a back three. I just certainly don't think they suit a back three over there. I'll be honest with you, it's a game at Old Trafford. And the good thing is, you know, at Old Trafford now, we're making those routine wins routine again. Might not play great, not as well as we expect, but we're seeming now to win the games we're supposed to win. And I expect a United a little bit of a bounce back. I mean, I don't think we were great against Barcelona, but I don't think we needed to be. I think we did just enough. And I think come weekend, I expect a comfortable win.
Comfortable win. I hope you're right. A big responsibility now for me on Mkhitaryan and Martin to take up the creative role that United are going to lack with Pogba. And when are we going to get some answers to Mkhitaryan about him as a person? What type of personality do you have? We know you have talent. Now let's see you grow into the shirt. Let's see you become someone that's willing to take games, willing to grab games by the scruff, willing to give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. And don't hide. I want to see that from Mkhitaryan. I want to see him accept the responsibility of being a senior player on this team and taking the game by scruff. So hopefully we see that from him. Oftentimes when injuries happen, you find a lot out about what you have. We wouldn't have Rashford right now, Martin, had it not been for an injury crisis. Rashford would have drifted out of United and probably never have played. Now you're going to find a lot out about Mkhitaryan for me and whether he has that creative ability to do this under pressure. And he's going to need to deliver, Martin, because losing Pogba, who for my money has been the best player in the Premier League from the first game until today, been for my money, the best player in the league this season.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Did Mkhitaryan not get a knock? I read somewhere that he was struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'll see if he recovers in time. I think it'd be important. But Martial, Rashford, there's so much attacking threat there, and clearly defensively right now Everton are struggling.
Yeah.
So you know, with that kind of firepower, and you know, we're going to have to replace Pogba. I'm assuming he'll probably give Fellaini the nod. Everton's a team we just seem to keep beating. I don't see us having a problem. I think we're going to bounce back after the Stoke disappointment. I think three goals again midweek. I think, you know, we go and beat them 2-0. I think it's a relatively comfortable afternoon. I don't think Rooney does anything. I think that initial boost of Abbott and Evan back at your boyhood club, I think that's already gone. I think all the problems off the pitch for Rooney are catching up with him now. And I don't see anything other than a Man United win.
Does seem a bit like his honeymoon is over. I want to ask you, let's get into a couple of things that are making the headlines related to United before we close out the show. I want to ask you about a comment that Jose Mourinho made that was really, really interesting, Martin, where he talked about club's evolution, and he talked about how, because it's in relation to Van Gaal's ridiculous comments that said his head was in the noose from day one. His head was not in the noose from day one. If you remember when Louis van Gaal came to United, he was greeted as some type of saviour from David Moyes. He was everything United wanted. He was brash. He was confident. He was a big manager. Everything he couldn't possibly have been better welcomed and given more backing. And certainly, had he been at any other top club, he'd have been sacked long before he did get sacked at United. But Mourinho said, under Van Gaal and under Moyes, there was no evolution going on. There was no plan. And this is a big, important factor because Mourinho's had to undo a lot of the work and a lot of work that's going on behind the scenes to this massive machine that is Manchester United. But I want to read something here that Mourinho said. He said, today we have better working conditions, a better medical department, a better analysis department, a better scouting department, a better media department, and we did it without, in many cases, changing the people, which is quite important. There's a couple of things here. Medical department, number one. Manchester United's injuries were a disgrace, right? Van Gaal, in his first season, I think it was, had 40 injuries by October. Absurd, right? And a lot of this was questioned about how players are being treated, and maybe as a result, Martin, why certain players have psychological issues when it comes to injuries. Van Persie went back and was treated by his own doctors. Schweinsteiger went back and was treated by his own doctors. There was a massive lack of trust here. I want to talk better analysis department. United scouting department as a whole, atrocious. That's why Moyes did the scouting on his own. That's why when Van Gaal came, he was like, wait a minute, I'm responsible for recruitment? You don't have any scouting? So this is the first time I've been at a football club in a long, long time where as a manager I have complete autonomy over who brings what in. So United never scouted outside of the manager. This is why you end up with knee-jerk signings like Di Maria. This is Falcao, players that United never scouted and ended up being a mess. All that's different. Mourinho properly scouts. Sorry, this is a long-winded question. What's your take on those comments?
Well, look, first and foremost, David Moyes sealed his own fate. He was advised not to change everything in the club. He was advised not to change the backroom staff. He went in, I know best, changed the backroom staff, changed everything. We know how that went. So now, Van Gaal comes in, has now changes everything again. And what's the old saying that you like there, Phil? If it ain't Dutch, it ain't much.
It's okay. Right?
So he wants this complete football. I mean, and look, don't say there was a noose on your neck from day one. What has Dutch football done in the last decade? You know, what's happening in Dutch football right now? If you guys can't make the Euros, they can't make World Cup, they're struggling. The Dutch method is outdated. It's been overpassed. It's been overlooked. It's just so dated. He sealed his own fate too. Jose's come in, and from day one, look at the difference in the football United are playing now than the football they were playing last year. Look at the fact that Jose was not interested in finishing top four. When he knew that was becoming a problem and that our one route in, he put all his eggs in Europa basket. We know the ultimate goal, we have to get into the Champions League. He put in a plan to make sure Manchester United Football Club were back in the Champions League. He sacrificed football at times. He sacrificed all kinds of things. He sacrificed his reputation. You look, he had a plan. His plan was to get, by any means possible, get into that Champions League. He looked at all the areas that have been failing for so many years. He's put a planning process now. And look, the football club as a whole is unrecognizable than 12, 18 months ago. You know, Fergie, he'd do it with players. It's a great story about Gary Neville when, you know, Gary Neville, hey, I've got a game for you in 3 weeks, son.
Yep.
He wasn't playing. There's the plan. No, you're not. I don't need you right now. Here's the one I need you for. Be ready for that one to go. It's about playing. There's got to be a long term. These guys were just, I don't know. It's so frustrating to people pass the book and, I was under the caution. They went, you were out to get. No, you sealed your own fate. Mm-hmm. You didn't have the plan. You wanted to use outdated methods. Jose's come in, sacrificed the style for a little bit and said, we'll get there. But let's do what's important first and get back to where we need to be. Then we'll start the Manchester United way. And the football we're playing right now at times has been breathtaking. And I just love the fact that we've got somebody in charge at the club now who understands what it's like to be at Manchester United Football Club. what is expected of him and puts in a plan to make sure the end goal is there. And this 3-year, 4-year, bollocks. If you need that long, then you don't deserve to be there. I'm sorry. Well, you know, it doesn't take that long, but if done correctly. And Jose deserves so much credit. And look, I don't care if he's not laughing and joking in press conferences. That's not what I'm there for. I'm there to see a manager who wants to win. I love the fact that everybody hates United again.
Yeah.
I love the fact that everybody United's on everybody's lips again. I love the fact that all the ABUs are out in force again. I love it because it means we're doing something right again.
Look, you don't get 3, 4, 5 years if you're not successful in the current moment. That's 3, 4, 5, 6 years contingent upon current success. You can't. Moyes made the mistake of coming into Old Trafford thinking, I've got a 5 or 6 year deal, I'm going to get that length of time to sort United out. Not only was that a massive mistake, but I don't care if he'd changed the backroom staff or not. David Moyes didn't have the belief in himself to be successful at Manchester United. And the stories I've heard behind the scenes, honestly, Martin, make your hair stand. United had concerns about David Moyes in the first week that he walked through the door. When we try to implement certain changes where they're like, he just doesn't appreciate how big this football club is and the consequences of doing things like that. The players had reservations about him from day one, so wouldn't have mattered. And I agree with Mourinho, the football club was not going anywhere. I want to ask you about a couple of other things, Martin, that made the headlines, of course.
Yep.
Martin Edwards saying that Wenger was a target for United back in 2001. Some people have laughed at that, but bear in mind back
then. Why would they?
Yeah, bear in mind back then, Wenger was easily, if not the best manager in English football, the second best manager in English football to Ferguson. He was the obvious choice for me. Mm-hmm. And he was a couple of years away. If you remember back then, Martin, in 99, United and Arsenal were going at them, at each other for everything. Right, Arsenal had a class team back then, and shortly followed by I hate using that word because they were far from it, but United lost less in their treble year than Arsenal lost that year. But to go through a Premier League season unbeaten is still an astonishing feat. So no issues with them targeting Wenger at that time.
I'll be honest with you, I'd have more issues if they weren't targeting Wenger at that time. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody could have foreseen what we're seeing right now with a Wenger team. Nobody could see that. He would have been the obvious choice for me, and absolutely no surprise whatsoever. And it just showed that there was back then there's a long term planning, you know, in process there. So I'd be more concerned if they weren't going for the likes of Wenger back then. I think no one could have seen this coming, and you know, I think it would have been a wonderful choice back then. And who knows? I mean, it's all about time and place, right? Who knows what would have happened?
The other thing is, if I could ask United to do one thing right now, it would be to stalk Harry Kane and get him in the summer. As Gary Neville says, Martin, for me, the English Lewandowski. That guy, he is going to deliver this season in the Champions League. Superb start the other night. Listen, he is on a wage that would make him one of the lowest paid players at United. So Spurs have a choice this summer: break their wage structure, which is highly unlikely.
They can't do that because then they've got a dozen more players who they're gonna have to break it for in the current squad. So it's not feasible to me,
Martin. United should be going out and getting Dele Alli, the English Isco, right? Player plays right off the front, scores goals, creates. Brilliant player, superb football player, right? I would be going out and looking at those two and saying, get me Dele Alli, get me Harry Kane, and start tapping them up right now. So
Harry Kane, yes. Dele Alli, I think there's only one place or two places Dele Alli's going to end up. I see him as more of a European style.
Don't give him up yet, though, Martin. Go after him now.
Why not? But I mean, I can see Harry Kane. It's weird. I mean, it's difficult to explain. I see Harry Kane as English, very, very English. You know, Dele Alli, I can see on the continent. I can see him ending up there. But I agree. Look,
God.
Harry Kane. Could you imagine a Harry Kane and Lukaku up top with Rashford flying down one side? I mean, it's frightening, absolutely frightening. But I mean, he's already making noise, right? Harry Kane's making a few little comments here and there that. You know, he's not got long left there. I don't see him at Spurs much past this season.
United would make both those players superstars, Martin. Superstars. Not just good players, they'd make them superstars. United should move heaven and earth to get both of them this summer. Have as many attacking options as you can. This is United team that clubs are putting five at the back against. You have to break them down. Have as many attacking talents as you can. We can get into who I'd let go next. We're almost out of time. But those two, big priority. I would go after them. And I think if you start that process now, everybody can see United's going in the right direction. Why would you not? Well, Harry Kane, you know, if he wasn't Tottenham boy, they probably would have lost him already. What a talent. Finally, Martin, two quick questions before we wrap it up. Gareth Bale, 1 goal in 14, getting heavily booed by the Real Madrid fans. You have a feeling that's all coming to an end. Florentino Perez saying everybody's transferable. You get the feeling they're getting the end of the rope with that. And the transfer window closing early next summer. Don't like it. Don't see the point of it. Unless all of Europe closes early, it doesn't solve any of the problems that you claim you're bringing this in for. So for me, big no in the transfer window closing early. Think it's a disaster. And the other one is, I wouldn't touch Gareth Bale.
No, not so much I wouldn't. I mean, if Gareth Bale ended up with Man United, I wouldn't be disappointed, but I wouldn't be thrilled. It's not something that would overly excite me at this point because of what we have in our ranks already. And Gareth Bale's injury problems. So it's, for me, not really concerned. With or without him, I'm just fine. As far as the transfer market goes, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense. And you're seeing why the likes of City, United, Chelsea were the ones who denied that, or not denied it, who went against it, voted against that, because the level of player that they're going for is a different level than everybody else in the Premier League. They're going to want these European players, so all it's going to do is leave yourself open for a month for the European teams to come and poach your players and not be able to replace them. So it makes no difference. I mean, there's no advantage to that top level of team that can attract that talent. There's no, unless it's uniform, unless there's no transfer window or the transfer window open and closed the same day all the way across Europe, it just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Completely agree with you, mate. We'll see what happens on that. Folks, we'll go ahead and leave it there. Thanks to all of you who download the show. Please, if you can help us out, if you're on Facebook, like the Beyond the Pitch Facebook page. You're on Twitter, follow Beyond the Pitch. Always a big, big help, folks. We've got some incredible content coming up over the next few weeks. We're really excited about. Thanks to all of you who take the time to download it. Leave a review and all that on iTunes or any of the places you download this show. That's the best way you can help us out, and that means a lot to us. So,
absolutely.
Thank you so much, folks. You can follow Martin at MWallwork7, right, on Twitter, right?
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah, give Martin a follow at MWallwork7 and me at Malachian. So, folks, we wish you all the best. Martino, cheers, mate.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, folks. Bye.
Bye now.